This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And our last conversation today around the work of the Invisible Institute highlights the ways in which reporters there partner with local journalism outlets to beef up the data and investigative capacity that a smaller newsroom might not have on its own. In this case, the partner organization was our home station, Illinois Public Media in Urbana. One of several pieces to come out of this partnership was titled Champaign Police Investigate Agency Culture of Not Following Domestic Violence Reporting Laws. It was by Farah Anderson, then a journalism student at the University of Illinois, and Diane Lean, a graduate student in journalism at Northwestern's Medill School. Let's listen to an excerpt from the story. This is Champaign resident Rita Connerly describing a time she called to complain that her former partner was outside her home with a gift for their daughter. She had recently had a protective order against this man, but by that time it had expired. A police officer came. Connerly did not like how he handled the situation.
All that he did when he first responded is say, well, hey, he's just coming over here to bring a gift. Don't you want this gift? No. You can put it in here. No, we don't want it. She doesn't want it.
After only 4 minutes, Christensen left without investigating any further. He did not file a report. Connerly says Officer Christensen's lack of action made her feel unsafe, just like her abuser had done.
Because as a person who has previously been a victim of his, in that moment, again, feeling like a victim.
The officer was later found to have violated department rules, and the report shows it was not an isolated incident. This story went on to be recognized with a regional award from the Society of Professional Journalists and took second place in collaborative effort from the Public Media Journalists Association. This summer, I talked about this with Farah Anderson, now graduated from the University of Illinois. When we spoke, she was still reporting for Illinois Public Media and working with the Investigative Reporting Workshop in Washington, D.C. Now she's an investigative health reporter at the NPR station WFYI in Indiana. I also spoke with Sam Stecklow, a journalist and editor with the Invisible Institute, which partnered with Illinois Public Media on this and other stories. I began by asking Farah how the investigations into the Champaign Police Department came about.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got put on the story by, you know, how every journalist gets put on a story by DMing somebody on Twitter. So I was really interested in working with Invisible Institute, especially in my capacity at IPM. So, of course, I just DM'd Sam on Twitter and kind of started picking up some stories that needed to be finished up. And this was one of the stories that I got assigned, and basically we were just kind of updating some reporting that had already been done by co-reporter Diana Lean, and looking at, you know, how was the department doing after a lot of these investigations and, you know, after a lot of this follow-up. And we found that, you know, the only retraining they had done after a lot of violations of the Illinois Domestic Violence Reporting Act was just a 10-question multiple choice online test. And we got that through public records requests and just looking at kind of what the department was doing after this. And so that's kind of how I came on, talking to survivors of domestic violence and looking at kind of how these policies and how these retrainings kind of impact the culture at the Champaign Police Department of following domestic violence laws.
Yeah, well, and maybe
so that
we
was
can
kind
take
of
a,
how I came on to that.
Sure, and let's maybe even take a step back and say before, you know, this retraining, your investigation documented what former Champaign Police Chief, then Chief Anthony Cobb called a concern of systematic or agency culture of not complying with the Illinois Domestic Violence Act. What did that mean in practice? What were officers not doing?
Yeah, so we found that lots of officers were going out to calls where people had called alleging domestic violence incidents, and they were just weren't filling out reports. And that has a lot of implications for survivors of domestic violence. For survivors, having a paper trail of reports of, you know, saying, hey, I called the police, they came out and an officer took a report and this is what happened, also kind of helps them get orders of protection or restraining orders against their abusers. And so not having that paper trail is really devastating to a lot of survivors of domestic violence. So we were looking at specific cases where Champaign police officers were going out to these calls and they weren't documenting that. So it was really hard for survivors to later get orders of protection and, you know, had issues down the line. So Like you noted, the former police chief had noted that this was, you know, a systemic issue within the department. And the only thing they did was this 10-question retraining. And then that was it. And we talked to experts that said that, you know, this isn't enough. When you have a systemic issue with something like this, especially as devastating as this, you need more systemic retraining, and just a 10-question online questionnaire is not what officers need. They need more, you know, advanced training on how to respond to these calls, the right questions to ask, and kind of what the follow-up needs to look like in these cases to protect survivors from further incidents and for them to establish that paper trail so that they can get to safety later on.
Sam Stecklow, I want to bring you into the conversation now. As we heard earlier, the Invisible Institute grew out of Jamie Kelvin's lawsuit and other work he'd done, but his really the sort of one of the big impetus was this lawsuit that opened up all this Chicago police data. How does an investigation of Champaign Police, how does that fit into the context of the broader mission of what the Invisible Institute is doing?
Yeah, thanks, Brian. So after we won this decision, Kelvin versus Chicago, in 2014, and spent a few years working with the city, or working against the city sometimes, to get all of the data underlying all of the police misconduct complaints that were made public by the decision, also working against the FOP throughout that. There was a different decision that they prompted, which also found that these records should be made public, or should remain public. And so we built this database, the Citizens Police Data Project. You can go to at cpdp.co. And after we were running that website for a few years and seeing the impact, we realized that, of course, police misconduct does not end at Chicago, you know, city borders. There are officers who leave the CPD, and we saw that happening and going to other agencies, but we also knew that there were real serious issues of police misconduct elsewhere in Illinois, and those cities like Chicago were impacted by this decision, but perhaps it was not being enforced in the same way because news organizations may not have had the resources to take that appellate court decision and really apply it to their own police departments. And so that's something that we started doing. We started having conversations with partner news organizations, looking at reporting that had been done. So we started talking with IPM and CU Citizen Access in Champaign, began reporting stories out, and then met Farah, and she came on and was kind of a beat reporter for us between Invisible Institute and IPM for the last year. And so we really see that as our mission of expanding the ability of news organizations to do this kind of reporting outside of Chicago, because we certainly can't do it alone. We don't intend to do it alone. And these are stories that need to be told in every community by people in those communities.
You know, Sam, you do a lot of work around the Freedom of Information Act. And, you know, it might surprise some people to hear that in a lot of cases, it's not actually easy or even really free to pry the people's data from the people's government. Talk about what goes into that work.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess the first thing is really knowing what your rights are with regards to being able to access data for, you know, for a very long time. There had been other court decisions that had talked about, you know, some kind of access to police misconduct records in Illinois, but there had been nothing that really crystallized that access and that freedom of access until the Kelvin decision, which was something that we brought strategically as a goal to be able to get at the underlying data that we knew existed at the Chicago Police Department and what was at that time the Independent Police Review Authority. And so being able to kind of understand the systems where information is kept, and then that is, you know, a resource intensive and research intensive process. And then that process of litigation was, you know, the result of ultimately about 10 years of litigation to get to the Kelvin versus Chicago appellate court decision, and more years to, you know, get the data, process the data, publish the data, And now it's a process to keep the data published or maintain. Those are all incredibly resource intensive. I can't give you a number, but the Champagne process as well, you know, we didn't get as much resistance from the Champagne or Urbana police departments when we were trying to access data for our Champagne area data tool, which is champagne.cpdp.co is the URL. But what we did get is data that was pretty messy because these were smaller police departments that had not had the resources to have the kind of more complex data systems that the CPD had, or had not prioritized that in the same way, certainly. And so that was a separate kind of process of, okay, how do we take these very disparate kind of files and go from that into something that we can present to the public as, well, you can now look up police misconduct data in Champaign County, which was not, you know, not as simple a proposition, right? But in a very different way.
Farrah, what sort of responses have you gotten from either the Champaign Police Department and just the community in general since publication of this work?
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of, you know, responses from people, even public officials who say, you know, this work was something that was just not really being published before this collaboration. So I think that's been really exciting. This is just work in general that we just haven't really seen. So I think that that's just something that, you know, is kind of unprecedented here in Champaign County. We've also published some other stories outside of just Champaign and Urbana. We've published some stories focusing on the Rantoul Police Department, and especially from, you know, the community in Rantoul, which is obviously a much smaller town, looking at, you know, these are stories that they had never seen published before. You know, the Rantoul Police Department had never really gotten, you know, investigative journalists looking into them. They didn't even really have a very formal FOIA request process set up. So I think, you know, a lot of these stories are stories that have really gone untold. And I think that really, you know, feeds into our mission of, you know, partnering with local journalists like me, and then using some of the, you know, investigative skills that Invisible Institute has to create reporting that hasn't been done before and really holds power to account in a lot of these smaller communities, which just hasn't been happening. So the response has been really good, and we're excited about some additional investigative stories we will have coming out soon about the Urbana Police Department. And we just hope to keep continuing doing this work and, you know, holding police departments accountable for their actions.
Sam, just less than a minute left, and I'm going to hold you to it. But, you know, this is a time when local journalism has really been shrunk by corporate consolidation, extractive social media companies, and even just, you know, changing reader tastes. What does that mean for the work of the Invisible Institute in places where there are fewer and fewer local journalists to partner with?
I think it means that it's really important for us to partner with people who have an interest in doing that journalism and who may not be within a formal structure. And so whether that is people who might be in a journalism school or people at, for example, university that doesn't have as formal a journalism program. We've been working with folks at Governor State University's Center for Community Media, where they've been building up a journalism program. But we've been trying to really meet communities where they're at and see what resources we can bring to make sure that that gap is met. But it's a very, very difficult challenge to obviously face all the consolidation and cuts that you just mentioned.
As a proud alum of Governor State, I appreciate hearing that. Sam Stecklow is a journalist and editor and Freedom of Information Act guru with the Invisible Institute. Farrah Anderson is a reporter with Illinois Public Media. She's also working with the Investigative Reporting Workshop this summer in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much, both Farrah and Sam, for being with us today on the 21st Show. And congratulations on the recognition for this work.
Thank you so much.
I originally spoke with Farrah and Sam and everyone else from the Invisible Institute back in June. You can find links to all their reporting on our website, 21stshow.org. Coming up tomorrow on the program, a conversation with the provost of the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. That's the chief academic officer, second only to the chancellor. We're going to be talking about free speech on campus, the university's role in civic education. That's something U of I reaffirmed earlier this year. And also maybe some politics, because Coleman, in addition to his academic leadership responsibilities, is also a political scientist. That's all coming up tomorrow on The 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening, and we will talk with you again tomorrow.